Watt, and her research interest focuses on maternal and child health, of course, in East Africa, where she supported Partners in Health's microfinance programs in Rwanda, as well as Population Council's evaluation of Kenya's health voucher program. She has also conducted research on the public health impacts of armed conflict at it's not armed conflict at Stanford University Center for Health Policy, on armed conflict while she was at. Claire is currently completing her master's degree at a nearby institution up the road here called Harvard School of Public Health. Claire.
Thanks so much. I'm really pleased to be here today to speak about Kenya's reproductive health voucher program on behalf of my colleagues at Population Council. Just to give you a brief context on this program, what we find now in Kenya and elsewhere in sub-Saharan Africa is that rates of antenatal care are often very high. In Kenya, we see that the number of women, the percentage of women who have access to at least one antenatal care visit is over 90%. But these high rates of antenatal care access don't always translate to the ability to deliver in facilities. And in Kenya, we found in the context of this program's implementation that only 40% of women were able to deliver in health facilities. And as you might guess, this number, this percentage was much lower among poor women. Reproductive health voucher programs are one financing mechanism that's increasingly being used in Kenya and elsewhere to address some of the barriers to facility-based delivery. And these barriers, most particularly monetary barriers, but also barriers to quality and perceptions of low quality in health facilities, are also problematic in encouraging and increasing access to facility-based delivery. And it was in this context that Kenya implemented a reproductive health voucher program. I'm going to give you a brief context of the program. It was implemented by the government starting in 2006. It began in three rural counties and in informal settlements in Nairobi, and it's since been expanded to an additional county on Kenya's western coast. And what's interesting about the program is it includes the contracting of both public and private sector facilities, which were eligible to participate in the programs if they were in voucher implementation districts and if they met a certain level of quality, of minimum quality standards. This is information from the 2003 Demographic and Health Survey in Kenya, and these data were instrumental in encouraging the government of Kenya to pursue this program. What I'd like to point out is the maternal mortality ratio. You can see of over 400 maternal deaths per 100,000 live births. This really shows that between 1990 and when these data were collected in 2003, there was really not much progress in reducing maternal mortality in Kenya. And you can compare this to the Millennium Development Goal target of 100,000 maternal deaths per 100,000 live births. So Kenya really felt that it wasn't meeting the targets in terms of maternal health that it had set for itself and that the global community was expecting it to meet. What I'd also like to point out is just the inequities between the poorest quintile and the richest quintile in these indicators and maternal health outcomes. And so this program really aimed to both increase access to facility-based delivery, but also to decrease these gaps between the richest and the poorest. The program was implemented in phases, as I discussed earlier, and later I'll refer to these as the arms of the survey. So arm one, the 2006 voucher facilities that were included since the program's inception, and then the 39 facilities that were added in actually 2010 and 2011 comprise our second arm. These show you some of the posters that were used to market the reproductive health vouchers. There are three types, which I'll discuss a bit later on. And you can see that the costs of the vouchers are, for the Safe Motherhood voucher, is $2.50 USD, and the Family Planning voucher was $1.25. The Gender-Based Violence Recovery Service voucher is free of charge. So voucher distribution was done at the community level. It specifically targeted the poorest women in those districts. And there were three types of vouchers that were subsidized. The first being safe motherhood vouchers, and this is where I'll focus in this presentation, which cover antenatal care, delivery, and postnatal care. There is also a family planning voucher that covers long-term methods and the gender-based violence recovery service voucher. So the rationale of this study comes from the gaps in the evidence about voucher programs. We're finding now that voucher programs seem to have a positive impact on access and service utilization in facilities that accept vouchers. But what we don't know is this new access? Are voucher programs targeting and getting access for women who didn't previously have access? Or is this simply a phenomenon of shifting utilization from a non-voucher facility to a voucher facility? And so that's what we aim to examine here. What we would expect to see if this is new access is that voucher sites would see, women in those sites would see increasing likelihood of delivering in a facility, and at the same time decreasing likelihood of delivering at home. And we'd expect no difference in our comparison sites. So as no part of this intervention was randomized, we use a quasi-experimental design with two rounds of data collection, household surveys that were conducted 2 years apart, and a concurrent comparison group. And we used a two-stage sampling, a methodology based on voucher facilities and matched comparison facilities. The first stage of sampling, sublocations were randomly selected within 5 kilometers of all of our health facilities of interest. And in the second stage, villages were randomly selected from those sublocations. Within the villages, women weren't randomly selected, but were rather chosen based on being the most poor in those villages with the help of local leadership. And this was because we wanted to capture as many women who would be eligible for the program as possible. So I'll present first simple cross-tabulations of percentage of births by place of delivery, and then the results of our multi-level Wojcicki analysis, with the outcomes of interest being the probability of delivering in a health facility and separately the likelihood of delivering in the home. And these models were run separately for each arm, the two voucher arms and the comparison arm. So what I'd like to point out, there are three main messages that I wanted to call your attention to. The first is that if you look at the 2010 arm, the proportion of women delivering in a health facility is the lowest, and this is significantly lower than in our comparison arm. By the time 2 years later the second round survey was conducted, there was no significant difference between these two between these two sites. I'd also like to call your attention to the fact that the highest proportions of delivery in the health facility are in our 2006 voucher arm. And this is consistent with the fact that we expect uptake of the vouchers to increase over time. We also see increases in the proportion of women delivering in facilities in both public and private sector facilities in both of our voucher arms. But we see a bigger increase in the private sector, which is interesting. These are the results of the multi-level models. We can see that the odds of delivering in a health facility for women and in the 2006 voucher sites more than doubled. This is statistically significant. And we see a similar increase of a 72% increase in likelihood of facility-based delivery in our 2010 arm. Concurrently, we see significant decreases in the percentage or the likelihood of women delivering in home in the voucher sites. And we see no significant changes in our comparison group. What supports these findings and attributing them to the voucher program is that we see that these changes are consistent with more than doubling of voucher uptake in the 2006 arm and a quadrupling of voucher uptake in our 2010 arm. A few limitations. We think that there may also be indirect effects of the program that we're capturing here. This could include spillover effects such as social marketing around facility-based delivery and also diffusion of information between neighbors. We also limited our sample to women who live within 5 kilometers of the health facility. So this could be an under or over representation of the voucher program's impact for all women in the district. And so to be conservative, our results are really only generalizable to poor women who live within 5 kilometers of a health facility. And finally, our covariates were collected specifically to the time of the survey. And if there were any significant changes in these covariates, such as place of residence, that affect access to facilities, this could also introduce bias. So I'd like to conclude with one other finding from these data, and that's that when targeting is done well, and in this case when poor women are really well targeted for these programs, we see that the voucher program can reduce gaps in equity for facility-based delivery. In our 2010 program, mostly because we learned from phase one, the program targeted poor women very appropriately, and we see only very few non-poor women who are using the voucher. When we run our multi-level analysis in the 2010 arm, we see that the mother's poverty status is no longer a significant determinant of whether she delivers in a facility or not. And this really supports the idea that this voucher program can also tackle issues of equity. We think these data and these findings show that Kenya's reproductive voucher program has been a success in terms of increasing access to facility-based delivery among poor women. And just finally, that this program seems to be a successful example of a public-private partnership, in that both public and private facilities were contracted and treated similarly in how they dealt with voucher clients, as well as private and public firms being involved in the management and supervision of this program. So thank you so much, and I'd like to just acknowledge our funders, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, as well as the key implementers, the Government of Kenya, PricewaterhouseCoopers, and my colleagues at Population Council, who were disappointed not to be able to be here today.
Thank you, Stacey.
It's a very, very interesting presentation about a big issue. Any one burning question? Fred?
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, of course. Sorry, I think I skipped over that a little too quickly. So the vouchers were highly subsidized, and the range of figures for how much a facility-based birth would cost would vary, but a cesarean section can be more than $200 in some facilities, and probably more even in Nairobi. So these vouchers are highly subsidized, and they are covered mostly actually by the German Development Bank, which was very instrumental in getting this program off the ground. The government of Kenya also provides funding, and there are other smaller partners as well who are covering these subsidized costs.
I'm sorry we don't have time for more questions. I would love to know maybe later about what's going to be done in the future to see if the switch to facility-based delivery had any impact on the ultimate outcome.